Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It's great to see all of you here today. And I pray that today is a tremendous blessing to you and to your family and to your life. Those joining us on live stream and Facebook Live, welcome. Glad you've chosen to be a part of this service today. Before I have you stand and we go into our worship set, I do want to remind you of a couple of things on our upcoming church calendar that you'll want to make a note of. First of all, of course, Tuesday morning prayer this coming Tuesday, right here in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock. Please make a note of that if you're able to join us here for that. Prayer is a necessity. And Pastor's been talking to us a little bit on Wednesday night about prayer. Tuesday morning prayer is a great time to come and do and to pray and to exercise the things that Pastor has been teaching. And then, of course, camp meeting is on the horizon at the old campground. We've just got youth camp in the rearview mirror now, and camp meeting is on the horizon July 2nd through the 5th up in Tioga. If you can go to some part of that or all of that, please make plans to do that. I know you and your family will be blessed. And in light of camp meeting that week, our Wednesday night service on July the 3rd will be dismissed. So no service July the 3rd, Wednesday night, during camp meeting, so that you can go to the campground with your family. God bless you today. Remember these things, and I know God is going to continue to move us forward. Would you stand with me this morning? We're preparing to go into our time of worship, and I was reflecting this morning and shared with the praise team. We talk a lot about experience. We talk about a worship experience, you know, a service experience, church experience. Today, I really want us to have a true worship experience, which is to say, I want us to have an encounter with the presence of God. The goal of this part of the service is to give you an opportunity to worship, yes, but it's also a chance for all of us collectively to take whatever we brought into this place, whatever we might be going through in our lives, to take all of that and worship through all of that until we get into the presence of God in such a way that He can minister to us and through us. And the job of the worship team, the job of the praise team, is to lead us in doing that. And so today, just like every Sunday, these songs and this time has been very, very carefully constructed. It's been very carefully prayed over and thought about and planned to take us from where we are, where we came in, and to get us to that place into the presence of God. All it takes is our cooperation to do that together. And so today, as we prepare to do that, I know our students always come down to the front during worship, and of course they'll do that again today. But I'm going to invite anybody that feels led, any family, any mom, any dad, any grandparent, anyone that feels led today, you just want to have a worship experience. You want to get a little closer to God. I'm going to invite you to come down today and let's worship God together. Would you do that, Grace Church? Come worshiping, come praising, and let's see what God will do.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. You return to your seats. Remain standing. Great to see everybody here today. I'm so thankful to feel such a sweet presence of the Lord here today, one that denotes victory and power. I'm glad Jesus is here today. I'm glad you're here. And we're going to have a great time in church today. Everybody say amen. Clap your hands one more time to Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Great to see everybody here today. And to all of our guests, again, welcome. We're so glad you're here. So thankful you're here. We pray that the service is a blessing to you. Those joining on live stream, Facebook Live, thank you so much. And we're excited about being in church today. I'm excited about being in the house of the Lord. Everybody said amen. Thank the Lord. I wanted to remind everybody that Sister Sheila Landry is planning to drive the church van. I don't know if y'all have announced this already. I came in a little bit late, but if you haven't, it ain't going to hurt to hear it twice. She's planning to drive our church van to Tioga on the Wednesday night, the week of camp meeting. And if you'd like to go, please let her know. And you'll have a great time, I can promise you that. And we do ask if there's any minors, anybody under 18 that wants to ride the van, you need to have your parent with you. That would be appreciated. So remember that announcement. Thank the Lord. Great to see everybody here today. We're glad to have our youth campers back home. Amen. Thank the Lord. I hope you folks are fired up. You should be. You've been there for 3 weeks, for crying out loud. We're glad you're home. Thank the Lord. And the moms and dads that have been at camp for these 3 weeks, God bless you. Glad that you were able to do that. Thank you for doing that. And glad that our camp season has concluded, at least for our students, has concluded on a great note of victory and success. We're thankful for that and looking forward to what God has in store as a result of it. Thank the Lord. I want to call your attention to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21, and I'll begin reading with verse 9. 2 Samuel chapter 21, begin reading with verse 9. And he, this would be David, King David of the Old Testament, and he delivered them, I'll talk about them in a moment, into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and she suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beast of the field by night. This is a very unusual and very morbid sounding scripture text today. I'll explain it in a moment. But those of you that were here a couple of Wednesday nights ago, I mentioned to you that there was a sermon that God had impressed me with to preach today. And so here we are. I even gave you the title of it a couple of Wednesday nights ago. I want to title this presentation this. I'm going to walk kind of a fine line for a little while, and then I'll make a turn towards the end of this message. But I want to title it this: I may not be winning, but I'm not losing. I may not be winning, but I'm not losing. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Everybody say, God bless the word. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. I'm sure all of us here today understand the huge life principle of winners and losers. I saw here a while back a presentation. I wasn't interested in it, and I didn't look at it. But it was a presentation on where people are today that have won the lottery in the past. In other words, it didn't go well. They were big winners at one point in their life, but ultimately became big losers. I'm sure all of us here today, and I'm not to be judgmental here today, that's not my point, but we do know there's a principle in life where you can sometimes be classified as a winner, sometimes you're classified as a loser. I'm not here to give you a pep talk. I'm not here to play like I'm Dale Carnegie either. I'm not going in that direction. I'm sure that everyone here today would prefer to be a winner than a loser. Nobody appreciates being referred to as a loser. I've known of people that have been categorized by other people as being a loser, and they resent that. And I say to myself, well, you're the only one that can change those people's opinions about you, what have you. I want you to notice with me today, and I very rarely bring sports into the pulpit. I believe the pulpit is designed for the Bible, and that's what we believe and teach here. But to illustrate my point, if you will allow me to walk down this path just for a moment to get you on a wavelength with me. It's interesting to me that in sports especially, there are obviously winners and very obviously losers. In every sports event, every sports competition, everyone knows going in that somebody is going to leave a winner and somebody is going to leave a loser. I also want to submit to you today that just because you're the team that loses doesn't mean you are a loser. You just didn't win that day. Everybody say amen. Need you folks on board. I know that right now the College World Baseball Series is going on right now. Theoretically, it's the top two teams in the nation. You're not going to tell me the team that loses is a loser. They just didn't win on that particular day. Y'all on board? Everybody say amen. Amen. So it's interesting to me that in the sports world, you know going in when you play the game that you might leave a winner or that you might leave a loser. But it's also interesting to me that there's only a very few sports that allow the game to end in a tie. And I find this interesting. In other words, we're going to play this game until somebody wins, which means, by default, that the other team is going to lose. In my walk with God, I'm not playing for a tie. That's not an option. I have to win. I have no choice but to win. I may lose today, but ultimately, I'm going to win. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The College of Illinois and Penn State made college football history with the Illini, the Illinois team, beating Penn State 20-10 in a 9-overtime thriller on October the 23rd, 2021. It became the first and is the only game in football history to go 9 overtimes, capped off by the Illini, the Illinois team, by their game-winning 2-point conversion to upset. Illinois wasn't ranked in the top 20, 25. They weren't ranked any in the top 25. But Penn State was ranked number 7 and was predicted to win. But Illinois never gave up. They didn't quit. They didn't stop. And in 9 overtimes, they finally upset number 7 ranked Penn State and beat them 20-18. Previously to that record was our own in 2019. The LSU-Texas A&M game tied the old record of 7 overtimes, with Texas A&M winning 74-72 on Saturday, November the 24th, 2018. In 2017, Western Michigan and Buffalo played a game that kicked off at 3:30 p.m. and that did not finish until after 8 p.m. that night. Those two teams needed 7 overtimes to decide who the winner is. Now, we can make all kind of spiritual correlations here today, and I'm going to make one. It feels to me like, in reference to the rapture, we're playing in overtime. And the devil is extremely determined to win. So the church has to be more determined. We can't end this in a tie. Amen. I don't care how tired we get, how burnt out we feel. We've got to press on, folks. We've got a battle to fight, and we've got a battle to win. I don't plan on losing, and I sure don't plan on playing to a tie with the devil. We've got to win. So I could preach this for a couple hours, and I promise you that I'm not going to. You'll get the point, hopefully, in short order. The Bible is full of stories about what I would call winners and losers. Talked to some about a little bit about this in my Sunday school class this morning. It even tells of people. Listen to Pastor. The Bible even tells of people who had great opportunities to win, but chose to lose. They were not overpowered. God equipped them and gave them everything they needed. I want everybody to listen to me. Your phone ain't important right now. Facebook ain't important. It can wait. Instagram and all that. Put your phone down and listen. This is for a lot of people here today. God gave people in the Bible a complete and full opportunity and empowered them to win, and they chose to lose. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was empowered to live out his life for Jesus, but he chose the world instead. I could talk about Cain. I could talk about Esau. I could talk about a lot of people in the Bible that were equipped. Samson is quick to rise to the surface. Who was literally more empowered to be a success for God than Samson was? But he chose women instead. Everybody say amen. So the Bible also has stories. Read Hebrews chapter 11. About people that may not have been so aptly equipped as a Samson and a Solomon and others. The Bible talks about people that were martyred that did not have the influence, the clout, the money, or anything else to buy or persuade the people that was going to martyr them out of doing it. The Bible said they fought as heroes and they did the best they could, but they didn't make it. But they lived their life for Jesus until the last breath they breathed out of their mouth. They did not compromise. I want to tell you tonight or today, we're going to stand behind a long line of people in judgment one day that had a whole lot less than we do to live for God, and they did it anyway. I think everybody ought to clap your hands and shout, yes! Bible is full of losers. Cain, Esau, Saul, Samson, Judas, Demas. The list goes on. I'm going to present to you a story. It's our text. That's hard for me to get my head around it. I still struggle with this story. I know what it accomplished, and I'm going to tell you what it accomplished. And if anything, it tells us today is that somebody here today, there's some married couples here today. There's some students here today. There's parents here today. You need to zoom out a little bit on life and get a bigger picture than what you're seeing. Life doesn't end with the present. Life doesn't end today. For most people, if the Lord tarries, and I hope everybody that's here today is going to wake up in the morning. I hope that happens. So the odds are, if you want to use gambling terminology here today, and I don't like it, but you understand my point, is that odds are most of us are going to wake up in the morning. So life doesn't end now. It doesn't end today. Tomorrow has its rewards, but it also has its consequences. There's a woman in the Bible. I don't believe she understood it totally. Her name is Rizpah. Most of you know who this woman is, and the story. It's interesting to me that God inspired a writer to write about this woman. Perhaps it was Samuel. But she was a concubine, a mistress of King Saul, the first king of Israel. And one day Saul went to war against a tribal people, a tribe of people, if you will, referred to as the Gibeonites. And when it was apparent that Israel was going to win the war, that Israel would win, and the Gibeonites was going to lose. I'm going to put it in our terminology. The Gibeonite military commanders came to King Saul and said, listen, y'all are going to win. Y'all are going to beat us bad. But don't destroy all of us. Let some live. If you will, put in your third string players. Put in your bench. Take your starters out and let the bench players play. And Saul said, okay. The war continued. Saul no doubt chuckled when these Gibeonite leaders left his presence and said, you're a fool to trust in me. And the Bible said he virtually annihilated the Gibeonites. He virtually destroyed them. A number of years later, Saul is dead. David is now king of Israel. To reestablish peace between what was left of the Gibeonites and the nation of Israel, King David made an unbelievable covenant and promise to the Gibeonite people to try to make Saul's transgression against them right and to serve some kind of justice that would satisfy the Gibeonite people. He offered to literally give over to them and sacrifice two of Saul's heirs to the throne. The two that were chosen were the two sons of Saul's concubine or mistress named Rizpah. Rizpah, I want all of you to try to think of this from her point of view. She is a very sad mother. She is the sad mother of the two sons of Saul that are being sacrificed for Israel to have peace with this tribal enemy. They weren't even a nation per se. He wasn't sacrificing to have peace with Egypt. He wasn't sacrificing to have peace with another great country around them. This is a little tribal people. And you're going to take the lives, Rizpah said, of my two sons in order to bring peace to these people. I'm not sure exactly how it happened. But these two sons' lives are going to be taken. But somewhere along the line, there were five more boys, grandsons of Saul, added to the list. It's interesting that it was five because five is a number for grace that represents grace in the Bible. So a total of seven men were sacrificed in order to bring peace to the Gibeonite people. Rizpah was a concubine. She wasn't a widow. She didn't have any voice. She was completely powerless. She had no money. She had no clout. She had no influence. As a mistress, she was a nobody. And there was nothing she could do to prevent the sacrifice of her two sons. But what she did do is astounding to me. I don't know how many will understand this or not. But I'm going to proceed because it means everything to me. When her seven sons were hanged outside of the gate of the Gibeonite people that led into their little tribal area, when they were hanged, the Bible said that Rizpah went out and spread out a blanket over a rock, and she stayed there until harvest, until the rain started falling again later. This is a span, Kelly, of 5 to 6 months. This isn't 2 or 3 days. She went out and laid herself prostrate on that rock. And all day long, she kept the vultures from eating the bodies of her dead sons. And she would stay up all night long and scare away the wild animals to not eat her dead sons. I want to present to you here today. She didn't win. She did not come out on top in sparing the lives of her sons. But what she did do was she won in giving them as much dignity in their death as possible. She didn't win, but she didn't lose. I hope everybody understands that here today. What she did do in the big picture, and I wish every mom and dad would hear me today, what she understood, I don't know if she totally understood it or not, but when it was all over, she did. What did happen is because of Saul breaking that covenant, God caused a drought to fall on Israel during David's reign, not Saul's. What Saul had done years prior, the judgment of that was poured out during David's reign. Why? Because God knew that he had a woman, he had a powerless woman, and an all-powerful king that he could use to bring about his purpose and to bring about his will. Somebody needs to zoom out right now about things going on in your life. You don't understand it, but God has a bigger plan. You may not be winning, but listen to Pastor today. You're not losing either. There's people here today that feels like you've missed the will of God and there's nothing left for you. There's people that feel like you've been talented and gifted. I'll come to that in a minute. And it just seems to not be working out for you. You listen to me. God has a bigger picture because of that woman. She wasn't willing to do what she did. She wasn't willing to have happen to her what happened. She had no choice in the matter. But she refused to develop an attitude of bitterness and hatred towards King David, towards God. She somehow kept her heart pure. She kept her attitude right to the best of her abilities. And when she couldn't protect her sons in their life, she protected them in their death. What did God accomplish with this? Because of it. Because of it. The Bible said that her sons died. The flesh fell off of their bones. And 6 months later, all that was left was bones. That was it. But she was still there. Her prayers and her fasting and her travail and her intercession could not raise them from the dead, but it brought a bigger picture. It brought a greater promise to pass, because David dug up the bones of Saul and Jonathan and those sons of Jonathan and what have you, and dug them out of their grave and united with them, united with the bones, united them with the bones of the two sons of Rizpah, and went and buried them and gave them a burial of dignity and honor. And God saw that and said, I honor that. So I'm going to bring the drought to an end, and I'm going to bring some rain to Israel, and the crops are going to flourish again, and the fruit of the field is going to flourish again, and the livestock is going to flourish again. I'm here to preach to somebody today. You may not be winning, but you're not losing either. It may be hard and things going on in your life that you don't understand, but wait on God. Don't get bitter. Don't turn your back on Him. Don't quit. Keep doing what you know to do, no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, because God has a greater promise. Has a greater promise. Maybe if some of you remember that old prophecy, it's in one of the minor prophets, when God said, spoke to Israel, after they had been beaten to death by Babylon, carried away into Babylon. Judah was carried away into Babylon. Israel was carried away in captivity into Assyria. It seemed like it was over. But God spoke to them in prophecy and said, I'm going to restore unto you what the cankerworm has eaten and what the palmer worm has eaten and all of that. You may think it's over now and you think it's hard now, but when you receive the promise and the fulfillment of the promise that I have promised you, you're going to see that the price you paid was worth it. Listen to Pastor. You may not have received the promise of God for your family like you wanted to, but because of your trial and suffering, it may be a great blessing to the entire church. We don't understand that, and it's hard to see. And it's hard to understand. I feel the Spirit of the Lord right now. We have to understand that God has a will and purpose. I could spend a long time on this point, but I want every leader in our church, everyone here today that has a title, I want you to understand your effort is not in vain. And the Bible teaches that. It teaches that. This mistress, this forsaken mistress, served a role that spared the entire nation of Israel. And the Bible said, when the bones of her son was buried, Brother Donnie, when the bones of her son was buried in 2 Samuel 21, verse 14, after that, everybody say after that. After the bones of her son was buried, there's no hope as far as she was concerned. There was no hope for the past months that anything good was going to come out of this. The Bible said, after that, God answered prayer in behalf of the whole entire land. The whole entire nation of Israel was blessed because of not her willingness. She was not willing that this happened, but she accepted that it happened. I hope everybody understands. I hope you all understand. To save time, I'm going to move on. Pastor wants to bear my soul here for a moment. I've been in ministry for 41 years. I've gone through times and cycles where it doesn't always feel like I'm winning. There's times and cycles in my life when I don't feel like my prayers are even being heard much less answered. I thought about this past Wednesday night. To be honest, some of the prayers I've prayed, sometimes it don't even feel like they're being even heard. You all understand what I'm talking about. There's other times it seems that some of my prayers are heard, but they're certainly not answered the way that I wanted them to be answered. There's people that I have desperately wanted to win to God. There's backsliders that I have desperately wanted to win for God over not the past week or two, but over the years. Nothing. Everything I've tried, every prayer that I've prayed, they're still not here. They're still not in church. They don't go to any church. They live this life that's empty and void of reality. And they know it, but they just can't come back to God. They just can't seem to find a path for whatever reason. I've sat in my office for untold hours. I remember sitting with two separate people, two younger men. Neither one was married. I sat with one for 6 hours. I sat with one for 8 hours in my office. I gave them everything I had with all the passion I could give. I talked to an older man one time, and I was willing to crawl on my hands and feet. I was getting out of my chair to apologize to him if it would straighten out his attitude, not towards me, but towards other people. I offered to wash his feet, and he got up and walked out of my office. There's just days that it just don't seem like I'm winning, and the same is true for you. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like the church is growing like I would like for it to. Sometimes it seems like there's just not nearly enough people that are praying through the Holy Ghost and being baptized and all of that. Sometimes it feels like there's people that should attend church more often. Somebody told me Wednesday night, I said, Sister Murphy said, well, where's so-and-so? He said, the person said, they're just at home. You just don't know what it does to the heart of the old pastor. When there's just no reason, I'm just not going to be in church tonight. It's not important, I guess. But I want to submit to Grace Church here today. You listen to Pastor. I'm going to rise to the top of my old decrepit legs, and I'm going to stand on my proverbial tiptoes, and I'm going to submit this to you with all of my might. When I walked out of here just a few moments ago through that door, had a meeting in my office at the last minute that had to happen, I came out here, and there were people out here. There were people out here. There was people here this past Wednesday night. And there's always a host of people here that love God. There's always a host of people here on Sunday morning that are clapping your hands and raising your hands. There's always people here that are fighting every day. And we join up arm to arm sometimes, and we all agree, Sister Kathy, that we're not always winning. And I'm here with that posture right now that it just doesn't feel like I'm winning, like I need to be winning. There's people here today that have survived health issues. There's people here today. Melanie shared with us this past Wednesday night that she's going in the next few days, whatever it is, to get her fifth yearly checkup for cancer. If there's nothing there, the doctor will declare that she is in remission of cancer. I wanted to tear down the restaurant the other night when she said that, because she's been here faithful as a clock, fighting through that, and God only knows what other things that she fights through. And she does it sometimes when she knows she's not winning, but she also knows I'm not losing either. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's people here today with health issues. There's people here today with financial problems and marital problems and relationship issues. There's people here today that's been hurt and betrayed. But you're always here worshiping, praising, full of faith, full of confidence, and full of expectancy. It doesn't always feel like we're winning, does it? But neither am I losing. Y'all hang on with me. I was reminded last Sunday, I sat over there in that chair, and it reminded me, last Sunday I was amazed when Brother Greg Allbritton was here, and he opened his sermon, and he mentions the word that Paul stated, that sometimes all you can do is stand And then he used the word withstand. I can stand because maybe tomorrow I just feel it in my bones that I'm going to inch forward. But I withstand when I feel like I'm not going to move forward tomorrow. Knowing that I was planning on preaching this today, I felt a huge affirmation in the Holy Ghost when he said that. And it reminded me, after 30 years of pastoring this church, I want everybody to hear me. After 30 years, not 5 years. I applaud a pastor that nowadays can make it 2 years. Most of them drop out in 2 years. In the Protestant world, pastors make it an average of 2 years at their church, and they leave. The last statistic I read, Protestant churches are closing down at the rate of 1,100 to 1,300 churches a month because people quit and give up. I've been here for 31 years. And my heart is still full of vision and purpose and faith and confidence. I submit to you today that no matter what we've been through, God isn't finished at Grace Church. And we're not going to end in a tie. And we're not going down losers. It ain't going to happen that way. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. I may physically decline. I may mentally decline. But I want it to be said of Pastor Murphy as it was said of Moses. As old as he was and as feeble as he was, and two men had to hold up his arms in a battle that day to when they would win is when his arms was held high. It may get to that point, but as God leads, as God directs, we're going to be here and we're going to fight another day and we're going out of here winning. Do you hear me today? I remember somebody said one time, I don't want to call out this exact situation again, but somebody told someone else about me when I was first married. I wanted a promotion in church, if you will. And somebody said, just leave him where he's at. He's not going to amount to anything anyway. I'm going to tell you one thing, buddy. The motto of my family, the Murphy name in my family, is to conquer or die. And I don't know if I'm too hard-headed or if I'm too ignorant. I just don't quit. I'm not going to quit. I've come too far to quit. And I know today in my heart, Sister Murph, that we've got a host of people behind us that feel the same way by the help of God, by the help of God, by the help of God. God didn't call me to be a loser. I want y'all sit down. I want all you music people, all of you singers and musicians and Sunday school teachers and all of that. As a matter of fact, I want all of our Sunday school teachers and all of our musicians, I want you to stand right now. Whoever you are, stand up. Sunday school teachers, musicians, singers, this just don't look like everybody, but I'll take it. Whatever it is, I want you to understand with me here today. God didn't gift you and give you talent. He didn't give you gifting for you to end up in a loser, as a loser. He didn't give you gifting so you wouldn't make it. He gave you what you got so you could win. He equipped you. Listen to me, Samson. Listen to me, Cain. Listen to me, Esau. There is nothing more valuable than that great gift that God has given you to you on the inside of your heart. And it's the will of God that you use it. Y'all stay standing. I ain't done yet. It's God's purpose and will for you to be used in the capacity that you're used. And it may not always feel good. And it may not always feel like you're winning. That's not an excuse to leave. It's not an excuse to quit, but it's an excuse to determine I may not be winning, but with the help of God, I'm not gonna lose either. Everybody stand and clap your hands and shout yes. Hallelujah to God. You may be seated. Thank you. So I want to encourage all of you, our Sunday school teachers, our music people, our production booth people, our lobby people, all of you in leadership. I want to encourage you that it's a privilege to have the knowledge and the gifting and the talent to do what you do. And God didn't give it to you to quit. He didn't give it to you for you to lose. You fight through the junk. You fight for your marriage. You fight for your kids. You fight for your church. You fight for what you believe in. I want to preach to people here today. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. And don't give up on your future. Sunday school teachers, your classrooms may not have as many as you want, but there's going to be somebody there every Sunday. When we pastored, started our church in Youngstown years ago, I got to the bottom of the bottom, I guess. That Sunday morning, I planned to preach. Sister Murph prepared to teach a Sunday school class. Only one person showed up with her three kids. I set her down at our kitchen table, and I preached to her like I'm preaching to you today. A few weeks later, God filled her up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know how it feels to preach to one. Sister Murph had her kids in another part of our house, teaching them Sunday school. Been there, done that. But look where we are today. You don't quit. So, your situation may be something like this. Yes, I've been called, and yes, I've been gifted. And I've worked for God on some level for years. But I've been hurt, I've been betrayed, I've gotten consumed with worldliness and desires and all of that. And I've compromised my lifestyle. But in conclusion, as I bring out the landing gear today, I'm not ready for musicians yet. Y'all sit tight. I want to bring to you another story in the Bible that we're all familiar with. It's King David. Saul was chasing him around all over Israel, wanting to kill him. Saul consumed with jealousy and envy towards David. Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. He heard that song everywhere he went. Even the Philistines knew that song. And David was so weary with running, the Bible said that he joined up with the Philistines. So a few occasions he fought in some of their skirmishes with them, fought to help them win. David, the great warrior and soldier that he was. He won the confidence of a man named Achish. And David even told Achish, after being here a little over a year, I feel like I've proven myself to the Philistines, even though I'm a Jew, that I'll fight for you. And he said, I want you to give me a territory, give me some property, give me some land. And the Bible said that Achish gave him Ziklag. The interesting thing about Ziklag, and I don't have time to go into it, but it was originally in a little territory that was in the area that was given to the tribe of Judah when Israel conquered the land of Canaan under Joshua many years prior. Now, it was under the control of the Philistine people. Used to be in Judah. They used to be praisers and worshipers. But it's interesting to me that when God decided to allocate that land back to a Jew, he gave it to a man that exemplified praise and worship. And while David was fighting a good fight for the Philistine army, another enemy came in while he was gone, didn't kill the wives and children of his soldiers and of David, but kidnapped them, wanted to flaunt to David. We could have killed them, but we didn't. But we just want to show you now that they are in our possession and you can't have them back. The Bible said that David had 600 men with him. That when it came to the ultimate big battle, the king of Philistine at the time didn't trust Achish, who was his son, that David would actually fight for them. Said, no, they'll get us into war and David will turn against us and fight with our adversaries. So he's got to go. And so David was dismissed and he's 600 men left Philistine. And on their way back to Ziklag, the Bible said David got word upon going right into Ziklag that the whole entire city had been burned, and his wife and his kids were taken captive. Sometimes you don't win. But hold on just a minute. It doesn't mean you've lost either. And I want to preach to some people for a few minutes right now. I'd love to call your name. Some people sitting right back over in that direction is as close as I'll get to it. You've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And it seems like when there's no more left to give, and even the world has turned its back on you. Buddy, when you can't fight with the Philistines, when you can't win their trust, and your own people, your own Jewish people are trying to kill you, there's just nowhere else left to go, is there? Y'all feel me? Somebody say amen. Amen. So what do you do? What do you do? David got his 600 men together. And he said, they've got our wives. And they've got our kids. And there was a moment when his own men wanted to kill him. It's your fault, you moron. You should have never left Israel to start with. We should have never joined up with the Philistines. And I agree with them. You never compromise. You never leave your home people. I want us to go as far as to say, don't even leave your home church to go off somewhere and do something for a little while and come back. You stay with your people. No, we may not seem to be winning, but hold on a minute. His own men threatened to perform a mutiny on him and kill him. But David reasoned with him. If we don't go get our wives and kids, then who is? I want to ask you here today, if you don't save your wife and your kids, who is? Come on, Dad. Mama, if you don't pray for your kids and your household, who is? If you don't fight for what God has given you, then who's going to fight for you? When David's men wanted to perform a mutiny on him, the Bible said that David got along with God. And we quote the scripture, but we don't understand the depth of it. We don't understand the validity of it. I'll hope against the backdrop of this message you'll understand it now. When David had nowhere else to go, his nation betrayed him. His own king turned his back on him. And now his greatest foe turned their back on him. His own men were wanting to kill him. Where else could he go? He wasn't winning, do you understand? But he also determined, I'm not going to lose. No. God anointed me to be a king one day. God anointed me to be a winner one day. God has given me some gifts, and God has given me some talent to be a winner. He never called me to be a loser. Donnie and Kathy, for some reason, I feel like y'all are on board right now. Y'all understand me. You know what David did? The Bible said he went off by himself. And excuse again my illustration, but he only had one card left to play if he was going to win. And it ultimately came down to what he had on the inside of him. It came down to what he had on the inside of him. That anointing prevailed. That gifting prevailed.
that talent God gave him prevailed. And the Bible said that David encouraged himself. In other words, he got home from church one Sunday morning where the service didn't go that good. And he didn't play his instrument that good. And the praise team didn't sing that good. And Sunday school class didn't feel like it was that good. And everywhere he was losing, and the job wasn't doing good. He wasn't making money like he wanted to make, and his marriage wasn't where he wanted it to be. Does anybody feel me right now? I'm talking to you and the Holy Ghost. And so the only thing he had left is what his mama put in him when he was a child, and what his pastor had put into him over the years. And all of those sermons and all of those Bible studies came back to the surface, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to have it this way. My story is not going to end like Saul. It's not going to end like Samson. It's not going to end like Cain and Esau and all these people. And if it takes me by myself, sit down, I'm trying to finish. If it takes me just by myself, I'm not trying to be a hero and I'm not trying to be a martyr, but I believe David determined in himself, if I'm all that's left, I'm going after my wife and I'm going after my kids. Oftentimes, the spirit of Joshua rises up on the inside of me, Jacob. It rises up on the inside of me and it says, I don't care what everybody else is doing. All of you stupid, ignorant Israelite people, y'all can go back to Egypt if you want to. And you can serve idol gods if you want to. But as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now you can stand with me. I want to appeal to Grace Church today. You may not feel like you're winning, but it ain't over yet. I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be real here today. There's people here today, there's some of our families, your marriages are at rock bottom. Some of you are going through a pretty nasty divorce right now. Some of our kids may not be where we want them to be. You may be on the verge of losing your job and all of that. And it just feels like there's nowhere to turn. Do. Hand me my Bible over there, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. You can't go down. I know you want to quit sometimes. But more than gifting, and more than talent, your old mom and dad has given you as much of this as we can give. And now you're giving it to your boys and you get burnt out and you get tired. April, raise your hand. I can't see. There you are. Sometimes I get so tired. I know you get tired of sobbing and crying and praying, but I know you had a brutal upbringing, but God's put a lot of men and women of God in your life, and you've got a whole lot of this in you. Jay said, I know you've been through times where you've had to look up to see bottom, but you're too gifted. You're too talented to quit. Not that you're going to, but sometimes the only source where you can find encouragement is yourself. I can't always be there. Your mama may not always be there. Sandy had the trial of a lifetime a couple of weeks ago at youth camp when her and Ryan's youngest daughter, who's still an infant, had a seizure and quit breathing. She ran out onto the campground and said, somebody help me. My daughter's not breathing. There was a man of God. I know him. His name's Hilton. No CPR. Him and his wife were on their golf cart, I understand, and just turned up the road that her camper's on. And he said later, we never go up that road. But when there was no one else, God always provides an answer. He did CPR, and as far as I know, Naomi is here today. It may not always feel like you're winning, but I determined a long time ago, Kelly, I'm not losing. And there's people here today that want to throw the towel in on your marriage, and everywhere you look is discouragement, and money's not good, and the kids ain't good, and all of this ain't good. Excuse my crude English here today. Brother Malcolm, I'm glad to know I've got something on the inside of me that's going to hold me steady until I hear the trumpet sound or until death calls my name. Do you hear me today? I'm not nearly finished. I'm not done. But you've gotten the point. I want you to understand. Diane, you may not be winning right now, but God didn't call you to be a loser. Nobody can say it like Jesus can. And so today I'm appealing. I'm not appealing to losers today. I'm not preaching that. I'm not appealing to losers. I'm preaching to people that maybe at the moment you just don't feel like you're winning. You belong to Him. Did you hear Him say that? You are His. You can put your confidence in Him. Put your faith in Him one more time. You'll see that you're a part of God's big picture. You're a part of God's big plan. I'm asking some people here today that may be a little tired. You may be a little weary. It's been hard lately. I'm asking you to come on down here. Maybe you're having to struggle a little bit more than you want to. You're not admitting you're a loser. I'm not saying that. But you just want to walk out of here today with confidence that I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. I'm all His. And He's got His hand on me. And when everything else around me is sinking sand, I still have Jesus. Lift your hands. I appeal to you today to let the tears run. It's okay to unburden your heart. You're not a loser. No, sir. No, sir.
no one's going to look at you as a loser. You just need some encouragement. Even if nobody prays with you today, encourage yourself in the Lord.
God, we believe for it.
Everybody to pray right now. Everybody pray. Everybody pray. Come on, somebody help me pray.